Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast. For this week, we are going to begin investigating our course a little bit more in depth. And that really starts with you getting to know just a little bit about me and also a lot more about this class. So what I'm going to recommend for this week is that as you listen to this podcast, you actually open up the course slides. And the slides I'm talking about today are our introduction to the course slides, because what they will do is walk you through just a little bit about this class and a little bit about me. So actually, let's start there. I'm not one for self-aggrandizement or talking about myself, but I do think it helps to break some barriers if you guys know just a little bit about me at this point. So who am I? Well, first of all, as you might have heard in my first podcast, which is only about 3 minutes, I am Jenny. Now, technically, if you want to get formal, I am Dr. Jennifer Miller, and I've been doing this whole college teaching thing now for almost 18 years. I began my work as a student in criminal justice, and I was really interested in all sorts of things that had to do with crime and law and rights. And I really thought I was going to end up going down the law route. But as it turns out, I took some courses in political science at the end of my undergraduate time, and I fell in love. I absolutely loved constitutional law. I loved talking about the politics of human rights. And so that's where I ended up, with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from UNO. And then I went on, did my master's degree at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln with a specialization in human rights and human diversity, followed that up with a PhD from the University of Arizona in international relations and comparative politics. And all that to say, I've just found it really fascinating to study the politics of different places, and in particular, how we handle major criminal justice type events across the globe. And speaking of across the globe, I am a lover of travel. I have been to several countries across the world, found them just so involved and engaging. I have worked in a number of different locations across the United States in positions with even the United Nations very briefly. I've worked with state government. I actually came from the Nebraska Board of Parole prior to holding this assistant professorship. And I just have a love for learning and teaching. As you'll see on the slide, there's a picture of an individual jumping out of a plane. That is my additional love. I have a passion for all things adrenaline inspiring. So if there's a little bit of fear tied into it, I'm down. I'm also an uber nerd, right down to the core. Huge Star Wars fan. You'll see the photo of the Empire Strikes Back poster, my all-time favorite movie. Saw it when I was maybe 5, but that's less relevant than just the fact that it's the greatest movie of all time. And I'll be happy to debate you on that. Aside from working in politics or studying politics and political science, I actually really love research. So you'll see there's a little statistics snapshot there. That's another course I teach here at Wayne State College that I have a great passion for. Really, really love teaching statistics, research methods, getting people involved in how to do effective studies of what goes on in the world that's around us. So with that, let's wrap up about me and move on to something a little more relevant to your day-to-day life, which is this class. So if you click onto the slide after my lovely picture and all those little snippets about me, you'll see our first objective is to gain familiarity with the course. And I've included a screenshot of our course syllabus in PDF format. Now, if you're on Canvas, what you should be able to do is click over to the syllabus link on the left-hand menu, and that'll have a nice visual presentation that's a little bit different than the PDF file, but it's going to walk you through all of the same elements. The really critical things that you're going to need to know for this class are built into that exact syllabus. So what I'd like you to do is click over to that right now and scroll through it. Now, faculty information, office hours, course information, that's all going to be stuff that's a little less immediate in terms of need to know. What is really important is starting out with those required course materials if you don't have the textbook yet. Really, really want you to go ahead and purchase that or rent it soon. Now, for a lot of you, if you're not planning to go to law school, I recommend renting the textbook because it's actually a lot more reasonable than buying something that you're not going to be able to sell back for, well, even the purchase price, let's be honest. Once you have the textbook, scroll down through those graded course activities, and you'll notice we don't have a huge amount in this course. We do have some high-stakes assessments, the two exams, and your government analysis paper, because really, constitutional law is about government. So you're going to write a paper of on a topic of your choosing about the power or structure of government and a research question you want to ask about that. Now, don't get too freaked out by looking at the assignment description here. We're going to break this down into stages. It will be a step-by-step paper creation process, and I'll be happy to guide you through that. Following our high-stakes assessments, there's a description of the low-stakes assessments. So there are weekly discussion prompts where I want you to answer the questions and engage with other course members. This being an online-only course doesn't mean we can't have effective conversations or discussions online. And that's really what I encourage with these discussions, is to give your input, but then to reflect on what others are writing and how that makes you think about something in a different or a new way. You'll need to do 6 of those this semester. There's 12 available, so you have a chance to kind of pick and choose based on your schedule and what works best for you. The next element on that list are called layman's terms assignments. Now, this one is a bit of a mouthful, and it's also a little bit of a challenge because what this assignment is asking you to do is to select a Supreme Court case and explain it in normal people language, right? That's what layman's terms really means. How would we talk about this or explain it if we were talking to a normal person who is not a specialist, who isn't someone that knows the Supreme Court inside and out, who doesn't use the language that is written into a lot of these opinions? When you look through these assignment guidelines, I want you to take your time, and I want you to look at the example that's posted on Canvas. Again, this is also with the course documents module under the modules link. There's a Lemon v. Kurtzman example brief. Take a look at that. And that's really what I'm hoping for you to do, is create a 1 to 2 page shorthand for the case, talking about the case details, the legal questions, the majority's opinion and reasoning, and any concurring or dissenting opinions. And we'll get into those just a little bit more as we talk through the first chapter you're going to read in the book, but that's not until next week. So this week, we're going to stick with intro to the course, and we're going to talk more about the Constitution as well. The final element for this class that's graded is your participation. And participation here really means getting into the course Canvas site, completing the assignments on time, engaging with the discussion prompts. With an online class, participation is difficult. It's not like I can see you in a room and assess what you're doing, but I can see how much you access this class, how many hours you spend on the website, how many page views you have relative to other people in the course. I really want you to try and be engaged as much as possible, because that really does lead to success in this class. And speaking of that, there are a lot of freedoms in this course. You're going to choose your paper topic. You're going to choose the cases that you do for the layman's terms assignments. You're going to choose your Canvas discussions. And for those who've never had me before, you're actually going to be able to choose the questions that you answer on your exams. It is a lot of choice and freedom and you being in control, which means that success here is going to be tied to you taking charge, being in command of your schedule, keeping on top of that schedule and the course expectations, making things work based on when you're available and figuring out how to navigate all of that with good time management and organization. So I think what I want to do now is leave you to read through the rest of the course policies. There are quite a few things in the course policies I want you to get a sense of, particularly focus on the points about rubrics, late work, and use of Canvas. One quick point on use of Canvas, and in that section, I talk a lot about the use of artificial intelligence, aka AI. If you use AI, I think it's a great tool to get yourself started with research. But what is not acceptable in this class or any class I teach is using AI to do your work for you. Using AI to help inform yourself, to guide you through finding resources, I am all for that. And in fact, I think if AI is used well, it can be a great tool to help us gather information in a much quicker fashion than we could do independent of that tool. That said, ChatGPT is no substitute for your thoughts. And no matter which tool you use, it's not actually going to give me what I'm looking for in this class on an assignment, because what I want is your voice, your learning, and your reflection on what we're talking about. Because that's who I'm here to work with, is you. Not AI, not ChatGPT, not Perplexity AI, not any of the tools you might be familiar with or that others might have shared with you. So please note the points about use of AI for any assignment. If you incorporate it for a research approach, I am fully down with that. But if you incorporate it to stand in as your voice or to write for you, we will have to have an uncomfortable follow-up conversation about the violation of the Student Code of Conduct and this course syllabus. Let's avoid that altogether. Just use AI as a tool to inform you, not as a tool of your own voice. Let me hear your voice in your words as written by you. All right, let's move on and talk about our course Canvas site. In the course Canvas site, there are a number of tools available for you. So there's a lot to see here, even though the left-hand menu doesn't have a whole lot for you to click on necessarily. So first off, you start off on your course homepage. Now on the homepage, you're going to see the Welcome to Constitutional Law with a lovely drawing of an attorney arguing before the Supreme Court. And below that, there is a welcome message, some links. Just to walk you through all of that, what you see there are the links right beneath the photo of the course syllabus, a link to a question and answers discussion page, and then a WSC resources page, because I want you to have access to all of those things quickly and easily from the homepage. Now scroll down just a little bit below the Welcome to Our Course on Constitutional Law message. And then what you'll find are weekly pages. These weekly pages are the tools that I have been working on developing for some time, and I think these are fantastic guides for you to use each and every week to walk through what is expected. So if you click on the Week 01 link, what you're going to see is our Week 1 roadmap page. And that roadmap page is what I will use each and every week to give you a sense of what we're going to be talking about in the overview section, some learning objectives, the things that I want you to get out of that week's material, like the required reading listed below it and the slides that go along with that. And then, of course, there's the link to this weekly podcast, and the podcast is going to walk you through the material, the slides, the reading. It's not going to regurgitate what you've covered already, but it is going to try and pick out the highlights and the high points. I'm aiming for these podcasts to not be any more than 25 or 30 minutes so that they're, you know, snippets that you can process without having to allocate a huge amount of time. Beneath the listing of the podcast link, you'll find any graded assignments due that week, And then there will be also additional resources in case you want to dig in and learn more. In week one's roadmap, you will see there are podcast links to other podcasts on the Constitution and its development, some podcasts on constitutional law, and a lot on the Supreme Court. Now, I am providing these links just to say there's other resources out there. This is not a personal endorsement of any of them, and they don't speak for me or my opinions about the Supreme Court. They do present a lot of other people's opinions. And some of these podcasts, I'm going to include links to specific shows that talk about more complex topics like administrative law. If you see those links and you want to listen to them, feel free, but you are not expected to. Now, if you navigate back to the modules link on the left-hand menu of Canvas, what you're going to see is a whole bunch of modules that walk through the entire semester for our class, which means you can work ahead. I won't have podcasts available to you much in advance of the beginning of the week. I'm going to try and record those on Saturdays and have them posted by Sundays, but you can work ahead. Do the reading, do the assignments early. The discussions won't be available until the Monday of each week, and you have to finish them by Sunday. The exams won't be available until I open them up for you. But other assignments you can do in advance. As far as the layman's terms assignment, I'm gonna have you guys complete a survey to identify which cases you're most interested in this course. And once you've done that and I've confirmed the cases you're going to be working on, you're free to proceed on working on those in advance too. Basically, make this class fit for you, right? What's the point of an online class if not to make it work with what you need, right? We're not meeting in person. We don't have regularly scheduled Zoom meetings at a specific time. So I want it to be flexible because that seems to be the real value here. Okay. What else do you see on Canvas on that left-hand menu as a student? Well, number one, right below modules, you'll see a grades link, which if you click on that, it's going to bring up all of your assignments and the grades entered in those assignments. You can scroll down to see where you stand as far as the overall score. Speaking of assignments, that is the link right below grades. So clicking on assignments is going to provide you a list of all the assignments in this course listed by due date initially. In the upper right-hand corner of that screen, if you click on show by type rather than show by date, it's actually going to reorganize those assignments into the kinds of categories that are more like what you see in the syllabus. The last couple of links you're going to see on that left-hand menu in Canvas are the announcements and the course gallery. Announcements are what I'm going to use each week to kind of give you a clue in to what we're working on, what's going on, what to be expecting that week. It's a lot like the course page, but more of a weekly heads up. And beneath that, the course gallery is going to have some links to any video materials or Kaltura tools, as it's called, that I am providing for you to help connect with the material in this class. Now, right now, there's nothing in that media gallery, but if and when I identify important videos or even other media tools that might help, I will place them there and make them accessible to you. So that is our course Canvas site, which leaves me with very little left to talk about in this first week, except that this first week is all about the Constitution. So let's get to that. The Constitution, the central element that we are going to talk about in this class, that we are going to investigate and try to understand as best we can. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it all goes back to those fabulous individuals, the framers and the founders. If you're in your week one slides, this is objective four. We're talking about the Constitution and history. And there's this classic artist's rendering of George Washington holding out the Constitution, a bunch of delegates standing around the room, facing each other, looking just so eloquent, so posed. That is not the history of the Constitution. So let's talk a little bit about how that actually worked. Now, the Constitution is an innovation that comes after a long history of conflict. You go to the next slide on our little window of slides here, and what you'll see is there's a lot of major events in the early days of the United States that lead into the creation of the Constitution. Now, this slide is not everything that has happened, okay? I want to be very clear. This is not an early American history course, but there are key events that start to mark out where the United States differentiates itself from the UK or Great Britain or England, you know, however you refer to it. We have a lot of rebellion, a lot of pushback against the king's authority, which sets up a large portion of the Constitution, the questions and concerns that we have about a central leader who has apparently no accountability, right? So you have our Boston Massacre in 1770, where we have citizens shot down in the street. Now, they were engaging in a little bit of, you know, civil disobedience, throwing ice and rocks at soldiers. But the opening of fire on individuals in the street and the killing of even children in that scenario sets up this dynamic where there is so little trust between the people and their unelected leader, right? The monarch. All of that continues through to 1773, when we have the Boston Tea Party, where a number of individuals dress up as Native Americans, board a ship, overthrow crates of tea into the waters because they don't want taxation without representation. Something you might have heard before, a common slogan of that time. And all of this in the background, you know, all of the things that are going on right now, there is a background conversation about, is this the best setup for us? So in 1774, we get our first Continental Congress, a sit down of different political elites to talk about what is our arrangement, what's our setup. That extends. We have a second Continental Congress in 1775. And that happens in approximately April, which is the same time that the Revolutionary War kicks off. You have the battles at Lexington and Concord in 1775, and the entire period you see highlighted in that red rectangle on that slide is the Revolutionary War. It's 8 years. 8 long years of conflict within the boundaries of the United States. And in that time frame, we actually get our Declaration of Independence. We get the first form of government that's opted for, which is the Articles of Confederation, which, as you probably have heard, didn't go so well. And then when the war ends in 1783, there's this understanding that those articles don't work. So we have more conversations, more discussions among that same political elite for the most part. The founders and the framers is how we refer to them. In 1786, there's the Annapolis Convention. Doesn't go super great. And then in 1787, you get the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, the one that we're so famously aware of, or should I say we're aware of, that's so famous. Excuse me. The Constitution is drafted, and in 1788, it's actually ratified, okay? So that is the process of creating it, but there's so actual little to the document itself. What I'd like you to do this week is just read it, because the Constitution is not long. It is a large 4 pieces of parchment paper, and it's more like a user's guide or an operational manual for how to create a government. There's limits, there's listings of power, there's a structure to it, right? That structure is essentially Article 1 tells us what the legislature can do and some of what it can't do. Article 2 talks about the executive branch, a lot about the president, who's our chief executive, who they didn't want to be a king. Article 3 is a scant, short 6 paragraphs about the setup of the judiciary, which most of the judiciary had to be created after the Constitution, in things like different legislative acts. Following those sections, which set out our branches of government, we actually have a lot of the process description. What is the relationship with the states in Article 4? How do the states have a role here? Article 5 is about the amendment process, knowing that the Constitution would probably need to be changed. They came up with a plan. Article 6 is essentially an establishment that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, above any other laws that are passed by the different states. And then Article 7 is instructions for how to ratify the Constitution. So they didn't just give a manual for government, they gave a manual for how to proceed with this specific document, what to do with the Constitution, to change it, to pass it into law, to make it effective, you know, where it stands in the grand scheme of things. The Constitution as we know it today is something we tend to think of as including all of the amendments, but of course in 1789, none of those amendments existed. So our Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, don't get passed until 2 years after the ratification. I want to say it was actually 1791. So 3 years after ratification, we get our Bill of Rights passed. And then we slowly get more amendments as time goes on. You know, the 11th Amendment actually gets added before 1800, but everything after that is an adjustment to the Constitution that usually takes several years. And a lot of those amendments deal with a lot of government structure elements, particularly a lot around the presidency. So I want you to check out that slide on our week one slides, the amendment listing for 11 through 27 and the basic description. And when you click through that slide and go to the next one where there's all the highlights in orange, all of those orange highlights have to do with some version of government power. It's not about individual rights. It's about the structure and power of government, how we use government process. We've made a lot of changes as far as government process and power go. And that is what I'd like you to focus on this week. As you're reading through the Constitution, as you come across questions and concerns, please go ahead and check out that Annenberg Guide to the United States Constitution that is also linked to in this week's required readings on our week one roadmap page. And note those questions, write them down. Get them into writing, shoot me an email, let me know what you're thinking. I want to thank everybody for listening to this week's podcast. As always, you can reach me via email at jemille1@wsc.edu. I'd love to get your feedback. Hope you're having a great first week of classes, and I will talk to you again soon.